Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Hope you tune into my show, Untold with Maria Menounos, this Thursday night at 8 on E!
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Good evening, AfterBuzzers. We are here at the AfterBuzz TV studios doing Everything American Horror Story Season 4. I am your host for the evening, David Skiflitti, joined by my beautiful panel and co-hosts, Sarah Huggins.
Hello.
Jillian Leff.
Hi, guys.
And Oriana Leo.
Hello.
Hello, ladies.
Meow, I meant.
Oh, meow, cute. Episode
four.
Edward Mordrake Part 2.
Finally.
Finally.
Yes.
So much better than Part 1.
I agree.
I'm so relieved. I was feeling like the pace was slow, and this was the episode. And it was only an hour long. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank God.
Thank you, FX.
No, what happened? I obviously had to watch the show without you guys last week because I was out, and I have to admit, I had to watch it in two or three sittings because it was dragging so much. I was like, when is the action going to happen? I get it's a two-parter, but they need to give us something, and they gave us pretty much everything in this episode.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Which was a shame.
Right?
For part one.
Yeah.
At least. Because part two was great, and it moved very quickly, and I felt like the story was being told very nicely, and...
I was talking to our producer, Marissa, before the show, and she told me she binge-watched the last few episodes, and that she fell asleep during the last one. And I was like, that's because they're just so long with not as much action. But then she asked how this one was, and I was like... Redeeming.
Well, knowing what you know now, that what happened in this episode, what would you have not included in the first one? Did you think about that?
Ooh. I don't, to be honest, remember the last episode.
I mean, I remember like the big
parts.
The
song.
Mm-hmm. That was great. The song was great.
The song. Edward Mordrake, we found out about him. That was important.
Yeah.
I think the Edward Mordrake story was the most memorable, but... Yeah, I could.
The bearded lady situation and how she's
dying. Okay.
That was a big part of it. Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of it.
That's all that I can remember. Esmeralda came.
Yes.
Mm.
And we had the museum.
Yes.
Okay, that was
everything
else.
So we remember something.
Yeah, we remember the episode.
Yeah, but that was like the main parts, and that's not an hour and a half.
No.
Well, it was last week. But speaking of Edward Mordrake, we finally get to see the conclusion of that this week.
Yes.
And he sort of goes through the freaks, and we get bits and pieces of their stories. We got the legless lady.
Legless Susie.
Legless Susie. And we got Paul's story tonight. And then we get into Elsa's story.
Lordy, lordy.
Look who's 40.
She actually looked great.
She looked incredible.
Now this is the thing. So they obviously flashed back many, many years. And as we saw, you know, Kathy Bates has a younger self, and so does Del. And again, like, you know, Jessica Lange looks damn good.
Well, this is not the first time that she's been flashed back to a younger self where they haven't cast somebody else.
Right.
But they did cast someone else in Coven, right?
For her teenage self.
For her teenage self.
Yeah.
We know we have to ask the makeup people, right, when they come back. Like, last season we were asking, and they just said, well, it's a lot of really good lighting and a lot of, like, light reflecting. But I don't know. Is there special effects going on? Because she looked dewy and young.
35.
Not a wrinkle on her face.
But there is, like, an old drag queen trick where they put, like, tapes and they snatch the
face. She was wearing a wig.
Interesting.
Yeah, she was wearing, like, a hat and that and a veil, you know, but she looked incredible.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever expect that Elsa was a dom? Because that was, like, out of left field for me.
I totally agreed.
Well, I didn't know that she... wouldn't imagine her working in the sex industry.
Right. I mean, I guess we got a glimpse of it with, you know, the What's the nurse in the beginning?
Oh, right, right, right.
When she taped her. Right.
Yes.
And it was a little, it was like a sex drug mm-hmm. video. It wasn't a...
She made a porno.
Snuff, it wasn't a snuff film.
No, because no one died.
It was just
no.
a porno.
It was just a porno, but, you know, we got a glimpse of it, but I never thought that that would ever return in any way.
Well, so it's funny because when I did that red carpet for the premiere, mm-hmm. everyone kept saying, I kept asking, you know, the opening credits are so erotic. Like, is this going to be a theme? And everyone was like, oh, yeah. So I was expecting something. Mm-hmm. I definitely wasn't expecting this. I mean, I think it's really poignant because the sex trade and entertainment kind of go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of poor unfortunate souls that don't make it in Hollywood or in entertainment. And as she says, you trade away your humanity trick by trick, you know, yes. thinking, well, trust me, I've been on Craigslist. There's a whole lot of sugar and daddy weird. Ads and like weird. Really weird situations that people are offering and somebody must be taking them.
Well, when, you know, when you're desperate.
When you're desperate. So I think
what's the one thing that we were looking at that one
we
day?
Won't discuss that right
come
now.
Come on, what was it?
But anyway, we're moving on
later after hours.
We'll I thought it was about interesting about the whole like 1932.
Yeah, so she talks about she goes, she falls into the sex industry right after World War One, when Germany was in ruins, and she talks about how the Germans fueled their misery with their cocks.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was just like a sexual free-for-all.
Those yeah. were her exact words.
Because there was nothing else
I know.
To do.
There was nothing else to
on.
Do. So they, you know, sexed it up. And she says that she wasn't like the other women or the other men who were doing it. She was more high class. Mm-hmm. And she was sought after. And she was a dom top.
She was
and
a she boss. Was, and she was watched. She
and
had an
she
audience.
Was, she had an audience. Watch but her. She
that
did some
well.
Super sadistic things, making that man sit on the nail toilet.
Yes.
He seemed a little bit into it,
he
though.
Liked it. He said, thank you.
I don't
but
know
he has to
how
say thank you.
In 1932 you recover from getting rusty nails you know, in your backside.
That's probably a really good point. Maybe every time you sit down, you think of Dom Elsa.
Yeah, but you could, like, tetanus.
Yeah, sure.
And, like, other diseases
well,
of other people sitting on
that.
It.
But well, they yeah, just I mean, survived war, know. So they clearly are being reckless. Like, they're not taking care of, like,
but
this
he,
behavior.
But he loved her, and he became obsessed with her and followed her. The soldier boy.
Mm-hmm. Is that
that's
she was
the soldier
about.
Boy.
Yeah, she said he saved
oh,
her.
Goodness.
Yeah, so he was clearly, he was down to clown with her, you know what I'm saying?
That was good.
Like Sarah is tonight, dressed as a clown.
But, like, she even said she would never forgive him for saving her. Like, she clearly
well,
wanted to die.
So she goes from being just a dominatrix, moves into films, mm-hmm. and she's told,
films.
What they call blue films, which I've never heard that
mm-mm,
term before.
Actually.
Maybe blue light? I don't know.
Oh,
no, I don't know.
Maybe.
But she was essentially drugged.
But she was, she did her porn, and I think only in the last one she was drugged. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
they gave her lots of drink, and they kept telling her, here, have another drink, and she was drugged, and they put those stocking caps on, and they sawed
her legs
off. And they
How
said she was one of the
that
lucky ones.
Is beyond me.
Adrenaline?
Oof.
It's horrific, and what's also really disturbing is that these things have happened. I don't know about that actual act, but, like, snuff films exist, and people, you know, exploit other people and kill them on film. Can you imagine?
But you know what's weird? I thought that when she was retelling the story to Edward, she kind of had this weird tone when she was like, you know, it might have even made its way to Austria. She's talking about the film.
Well, because
and it's
it
like
did
she's
make
being,
her a star.
Well, she said
you know,
that. She said.
And she was finally being seen, but look at what she had to sacrifice.
Right.
And I think that the writers did a great job of twisting everyone's stories. I don't want to bring in Twisty yet, but I wasn't expecting his backstory. And also this one completely surprised me.
Me too.
Oh, I absolutely.
Yeah.
Incredible story. And another thing I kept hearing on the red carpet at the premiere was how touching and moving this season was. And I'm now starting to get that of, like, the incredible pain and suffering that all of these characters have gone through that has brought them together.
And to this point.
I cried in this episode.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think that an episode. There was one episode of Coven. Yes, I shed tears in this episode
you
as
did?
Well.
You
did? Yes.
Yeah.
Or, like, I had tears in my eyes, but I do think I remember one episode of Coven made me feel similar, but most episodes don't, and I feel like overall everyone's story was so devastating.
It is weird that this season the characters have the most heart.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You feel the most for these characters yes. out of all the seasons yes. so
well,
far.
They're the most developed, I feel like, almost.
Yes. Remember how we were talking about the build-up in the first two episodes? Mm-hmm. How we're kind of, like, tired of them mm-hmm. beating it into us that these people are freaks, these people are different. I think that the reason why the emotions hit me so hard this episode is because for the first time they were seen as normal people.
Right.
And I think that that is the reason why they did it, because they needed the audience to know and feel these things. And the emotional transition happened for me. I don't know how you guys felt, but I looked at Sarah and I was like...
The same part, and we'll probably get to it yeah. later. But yeah, it wasn't anyone's individual story for me. It was mm-hmm. a part that happened later.
I okay. feel like we got to see their fall from grace. You know, everyone had a kind of normal life or a happy time. Mm-hmm. And we get to see that fall and to see where they are now and just how pathetic it is, how unhappy these people are, how pained they are. You know, I think you're right. The buildup was, I mean, we all knew the buildup was necessary.
Right.
But I definitely, I feel for them now a lot.
Yeah, I'm with you. And at the end of Elsa's story, she's begging Edward Mordric to take her.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Which was sad. Devastating yeah. and so beautifully done. And Jessica Lange just killed that scene. But, you know, and he doesn't. He's about to take her. And then he says, "Do you hear music?"
Mm. That's kind of what I thought was going to happen. Like, I thought she was going to be the one that he went after.
Did you?
Yes. Because I said that today. Yeah. I tweeted that today. I said that it was going to be her, but I knew they're not going to kill Jessica Lange off the show yeah. now. So I knew that that wasn't going to happen, but I knew something was going to stop him, or it was going to be like a botched killing. Like, it wasn't going to happen the way he wanted it to. So, yeah, it didn't surprise me at all that that happened. I didn't expect it in that way, but I knew.
Well, he moves to Twisty.
Yeah.
And we finally get to see Twisty's background.
And hear his voice
finally, which I think to me, Twisty's story is probably the most devastating.
Yeah.
First of all, his voice. You know, we've been talking about John Carroll Lynch's acting, physical acting with his eyes. Mm-hmm. His voice was something kind of wonderful, something a little dopey, non-threatening.
He sounded like a child.
Gentle. Mm-hmm. You know, because we do find out that his soul is pure.
Yeah.
Even though he kills people, you know, his soul is pure. And I mean, I love his performance in this series. Like, yeah. I think he steals the show for me.
Yeah. He totally does. But what I find really ironic about this is that it's like his soul is pure or he's a total sociopath. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, because Edward Mordric says, you know, every single person I've met, every sinner I've met, essentially repents. They know in their heart that what they've done is wrong. And he doesn't know what he's done is wrong, which is what we would define as insanity or incompetency if someone was going to go to trial. Mm-hmm. But he takes him down to hell as a true freak. And I'm trying to put all of that together because I thought it would be a punishment, and it didn't at all look like a punishment. It looked like heaven to Twisty.
Well, the way that I see it, so you've all seen the show, so we don't necessarily need to recap his story. Mm-hmm. But he is on the slower side. His brain isn't fully developed, mm-hmm. and he's taunted by the freaks at the circus that he worked mm-hmm. at, and then taunted by the people in the town, which sort of explains why he killed some of the people that he killed. And he talks mm-hmm. about the parents so that the kids don't have to do chores. And he got them a babysitter, and he got them candy, and he just wanted to perform because he loved children. And we also got to see why his mouth looked the way that it looked, and we were all kind of like, keep the mask on, don't show us. But then after he started speaking, it sort of didn't bother me anymore, his mm-hmm. mouth.
I found it the most heartbreaking when he said, you know, I'm so dumb, I can't even kill myself.
My father grew up with someone like that, and he said that there was a guy in town that was slow. This was in Braintree, Massachusetts, and he was slow. Everybody picked on him. He got bullied, and he was miserable and depressed, and then he shot half his face off and lived. And my dad was like, it was heartbreaking because everyone knew he couldn't do anything right, not even kill himself. Those exact words. Yeah. So this is not an original story. This has happened before.
Right.
But it's devastating.
It is devastating.
Yeah. Well, and I hated, like, he didn't even do the things. He wasn't, like, doing anything inappropriate with the kids. It was, like,
he was a good person.
He was a good clown.
Yeah. And a good person. And and his struggle of trying to get people to see that kid, like, I could really feel that made me upset.
And I liked how they juxtapose him telling the story in such a sweet, childlike way, but showing us the horrific things that he had done.
Well, you know, the thing that's bothering me the most, and I hope that they address this in the coming episodes, it seemed like Dandy and Twisty were okay with working simultaneously, but they are completely different characters. Mm-hmm. You know, Dandy is out for Malice, and he is thrilled by these killings, and he enjoys it, and it's sadistic, and it's not in the way that Twisty was, so obviously the evil is going to continue, but will, you know, it lead to his ultimate end?
Dandy's end. Most likely.
He's so destructive already. I mean, we see what he does in this episode, and he gets excited about killing, and we see that, and we know that he's crazy, but it's a completely other level. It's another level.
It is, right. And I think the way...
A bratty level.
What did you say?
He's like a bratty, like...
Oh, yes.
He's not, I mean, he's scary, but to me, like we were saying, he's like still like a handsome killer, but that kind of reminds me of like how a lot of the serial killers were like, you know, handsome men. Yeah, like Ted Bundy and stuff like that. But still, yeah, like I'm not as scared of him as like...
Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Well, that's where his struggle lies. People don't take him seriously. Yeah. And it's, you know, I think Emma Roberts... Esmeralda. She doesn't call him a freak, right?
What tiny tits.
He calls her tiny tits. What I wanted to say was that I think the difference between Dandy and Twisty is that because Twisty isn't fully mentally developed, I don't think he understands what...
The repercussions.
No,
what
understand.
Dandy's doing.
Yeah,
right.
So he sees it differently than how Dandy sees it. Dandy sees it as like... Oh, we're the same because we're both killing people and we're both enjoying it, whereas Twisty sees that I'm, like, saving these people.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because they didn't talk, so.
Right, so.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like when he does, Mordric takes him and he is sort of happy and it sort of looks like heaven to him, is because he belongs.
He does, finally. But I must be having a blonde moment because this whole thing was I'm going to find the true freak.
Right. Mm-hmm. But to him, it's not hell.
Right. And that's what I don't... To meet the rest of the unfortunate freaks in hell. And he goes there and they all put their hands on him and he gets to feel love and affection and a family. And I'm like, how is this...
The only difference is his pain, Twisty's pain, was self-inflicted. He was the one that shot the gun, and, you know, he is taking out these actions. Everyone else was either born with their disorder, their limbs were taken from them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the only difference that I could see. And like you said to me, you know, he can't recognize his own evil.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, you know, the main difference is he finally feels like he's a part of something and... You know, all the freaks looked like they were welcoming him.
Yeah.
And it was with open arms and hugs. And I'm sure they all have a similar story where, you know, maybe they didn't start out as a freak necessarily, but they transformed.
So I guess what I'm getting at is that the definition of freak is not what I would have thought it was. Right?
Is that
the definition of freak, I think, is going to probably evolve through the series.
Yeah.
But that this is... you know, a pained, unfortunate soul that knows not what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I would have thought.
Yeah. It's interesting how they've reappropriated the word.
Yeah, because it depends on who you ask. Like, some people, I mean, if you want to, like, take it to, like, the sex aspect, some people think things are freakier than others. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, some people might not be into it.
That's a good point.
And I get the idea that, like, a true freak would be someone... maladjusted and that's really not part of our natural order, and I can see that maybe that I don't know, applies to Twisty because he could not recognize the evil in himself. Hmm.
Well, and there's also, like, the freak doesn't necessarily have to be in a bad connotation. You know, like, mm-hmm. people are like, oh, my God, you're such a freak. In, like, a good way, like, kind of like a
freak flag.
You're like
yeah.
a weird, right. You're like, have right. like a weird side. So
you're showing who you are.
Too, yeah.
Your true colors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a little upset that we're not going to see any more of Edward because I really do think that his dialogue,
sure.
I mean,
was incredible.
Amazing.
He comes out only once a year.
Insane.
Halloween has since passed, so mm-hmm. I'm assuming that we're not going to see him, especially because there is so much more to come in these next episodes. But I really thought that his words were some of the most poignant in the series so far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I enjoyed everything that he had to say.
And I enjoyed how he said it.
He yeah. tore up Elsa.
Yeah. When
he,
yeah.
And I was yeah. trying to write down as fast as I could.
It was too difficult.
He was saying it was too difficult, but he just said, he said that you are a pernicious, diseased animal herself. Like, mm-hmm. and I was just like, what? You're right. He just rips her apart. Everything he said, which, of course, I couldn't write down.
I feel like, though, we might see him in a touch of the next episode because he didn't get a proper goodbye. We didn't see him, like, walk into the green fog or anything.
He just poof, disappears.
I almost think he needs a goodbye.
He did have two episodes named after him, though.
Yeah.
Are we going to go?
You don't?
No.
I think he got what he came for.
Yeah.
He
took his soul.
Halloween's done. Move on.
We have so much more.
So much more.
So many more things developing.
And because Twisty left, Dandy gets his mask and gets to live his fantasy. So we see Dandy...
who David is obsessed with, by the way.
I'm obsessed with him. Oh my god, he's adorable.
Amazing.
I like Evan Peters better than him.
Yeah, I think he's such a great actor that yes. I don't find him adorable. Like
right.
I'm really repulsed by his character.
Right.
Oh, I just love him, and I think the character is fantastic.
You said
it
right there.
Hilarious.
I just love him. Anyway, go
well,
on.
Possibly, I'm gonna kill you later.
Hopefully.
Just kidding. I'm not a killer.
Yet.
Go on with your Dandy love.
So Dandy is performing a Halloween extravaganza for the chillins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to perform a magic trick where he saws the lady in half.
Tiny tits.
But he ends up being the downfall of that entire show. It's because he got knocked out.
Show.
Yeah.
I missed that. What happened? I was writing.
Oh, so Evan Peters got free from his bindings and smacked him with his lobster hands.
I missed it.
Knocked him out. Then Twisty was weirdly having everyone clap because something funny happened, you know?
Right, and he doesn't understand.
No. Right, and then they all decided to run, and Twisty grabs Evan Peters and locks him in the cage.
Right.
And then we see the interaction between Edward and Twisty as Evan Peters watches on.
But the girl, whose name is Bonnie.
Bonnie!
Which I guess
I love her.
We missed.
She's so pretty, yeah.
But Bonnie, the other boy,
mm-hmm.
the other two boys,
one?
Oh, yeah, Michael.
And John, remember? Peter Pan.
Yeah. Michael and John. They get away, which is great. Good for them. They're happy.
With Emma Roberts.
Well, you don't think we're going to see them again?
No.
No.
What?
That's done.
Really?
Yeah.
What would we need them for?
I'm so attached to everyone.
Unless Dandy feels like he needs to finish what he started and goes and grabs them again.
Right, because Dandy's chasing after them and trips over a log and then...
Because he's wearing that silly mask that he has pinholes for eyes. I was like, take that off, boy, you're gonna fall.
And then he has that moment, the Veruca Salt moment.
Yes.
I hate you, I hate you, I hate you.
So well performed.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it was giving me Willy Wonka vibes. Except with murder, you know?
Yeah,
it's great.
But I love it, because when you were a kid, we all knew that kid. Like,
oh
hopefully
my gosh.
You weren't that kid. But we all knew that kid that didn't get what they wanted.
Was a brat.
And was just
was
a
not like
horrible brat, you know? I was not allowed to be a brat. So.
No.
I was not either. I was also not an only child.
Mm.
Sarah.
I'm not an only child.
I'm an only child. Whatever. What do you have against onlys?
Usually spoiled.
It's not my fault. I wanted a sibling and they wouldn't give me one.
It was just me. I'm my firstborn, so maybe that.
whatever.
Well, yeah, so well, Dandy is not a good representation of only children.
No, he is not. He is like the epitome of the horrible only
spoiled child. But he is the epitome
of
mommy, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The mommy gives, mommy has guilt and gives him everything he wants.
Daddy's not around.
Yeah.
Sort of borderline inappropriate relationship with the mom. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys watch Game of Thrones, any of you?
Yes.
Okay, so
I don't always understand it.
The mother-son relationship reminds me of the little boy and the, I don't want to spoil it, but is her name Catherine?
Spoiler.
Catherine's
sister?
I
don't know anyone's name.
I don't know. Anyway, there's a relationship in the show where this little boy literally is breastfeeding, and he is 8 years old, nine years old, breastfeeding. You know, his mom's breastfeeding him, and he babies him.
To do that.
But he has this insane attitude and entitlement that Dandy has, and it's I want to know about Dandy's past, because we still have no indication of where the father is,
right.
You know, what he was like when he was even younger, how his mother acts, because...
How did she get that way?
She seems like a self-medicator to me.
Right.
We don't know anything about her. She's She has too much pep in her step.
Yeah.
But obviously, now she's going to have a lot more responsibilities now that Patti LaBelle is dead.
Well,
Dora.
He finally killed a person. We saw that tonight, and he was... so happy.
We knew this was coming.
We did know this was coming.
And it had to be her, too. I mean, how many times has he come at her with a pointed object and she said, I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah.
And he finally,
like, I'll show you.
And in his life, I guess she is expendable.
Yeah.
And she's also been the tormentor.
But everyone's expendable. He doesn't value anybody.
Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, he's going to value his mom. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, who's going to feed him? I mean, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. He can't take care of himself.
Well, Dora's the one that fed him.
True. But they can just get another one.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
I'm very excited because now with Dora dead, it means that Gabory Sidibe can come back into the show.
Oh, yeah.
And she is playing the daughter of Dora.
Oh.
Because her mother goes missing.
How did you know this?
Okay.
You read it somewhere?
So, I think EW did a featurette when Patti LaBelle's casting was announced, but they explained that the connection between Gabourey and Patti was that it's a mother-daughter relationship, and Gabourey comes back to Jupiter after her mother goes missing.
Okay.
So, obviously, Dandy is about to get rid of the body. I mean, really not that much of a spoiler, because she had to be in.
So, are they going to show flashbacks, I wonder, then? Probably, right?
I mean...
Well, hopefully this is how we get to know Dandy's backstory.
I hope so. Because maybe she had a lot... Maybe Gabourey had a lot to do with it. I don't know
her
character.
Maybe they grew up together.
That's what I would think. Because if Dora's been there, wiping his ass, as she said, like, since he was born, then you would think her daughter would have been around.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Who knows what she has?
Sleuths.
Yes. Yeah. And another person who sort of came around, I would say, is Esmeralda.
Mm.
We saw a different side of her. Because at first when she shows up, she's afraid of the quote-unquote freaks, and she doesn't want to talk to them.
And she's here for her job.
Literally. And she wants to leave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But after everything that happened with her and Jimmy, and we saw at the beginning of the episode, she's like, I don't trust you. I don't really know who you are. It's dark, and I know what men want when it's dark out.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I mean, who hasn't had that thought before?
But it's funny because when she makes the switch to caring about the freaks,
mm-hmm.
you know, her partner sort of comes at the most inopportune time.
Right.
He's done getting his pleasure, as we saw in the last episode.
Oh, geez.
That weird scene where he was with
a scene.
Yeah, it was very weird.
With Thor.
Dennis O'Hare with Thor. Yeah. But he sort of is coming when she is just now developing feelings. Like Elsa said, she put a spell on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone sort of still thinks she's a
fortune teller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which hopefully will come into play a little bit again later.
Yeah.
But she's not the only one besides that has come to terms with these people, the townspeople.
Okay, so that's where I cry.
This is the crying scene.
Really?
Cue the tears.
I was like, cheesy. I mean, I loved it, but
it was like,
stop it.
The guy shakes the lobster hand. This would have been the same person that was throwing bottles at his face like
an hour ago. Hearts of coal.
No, I don't know. I just feel like the townspeople have been made to be so vicious and cruel that all of a sudden this freak saved my child. Now I'm going to go touch his lobster hand. It just seems really far-fetched. I'm sorry.
Did I just ruin it?
No, I'm with you, but it was warranted, I suppose.
I think it was beautiful, but it just was wasn't here. I was more like, yeah, right.
Or like, I just loved it. And I loved it too, because that's all they wanted was the townspeople to come and like pay to see their show. And then they're like sold out and they're like so excited. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was completely tenderoni, and I appreciated it. Yeah. Since there hasn't been many moments like that in the series so far, I did like how the townspeople came around. Now, with that, how they had the sort of, like, lynch mob aspect of attacking the freaks and now forgiving the freaks, I feel like it could flip back just as easy when Dandy starts killing people and people are disappearing. It's very easy, as we know in the first four episodes, to pin something on this group of people. And one good deed is not going to change everyone.
Right. But I feel like that's kind of just true to life in general, you know? Like, I mean, this new, you know, like, I mean, he was redeemed, or they were redeemed, and then, you know, the next week a new story comes out, and it's, you know,
okay. Like, this is going to seem really far fetched, but to make it actually topical and current, I was listening on the news about these poor nurses that had Ebola, that contracted it from a patient, and of course the people that did the news stories, like the government official that spoke about them, was like, oh, well, the nurse traveled and she should have never traveled. And the whole point of the story was that the nurses followed all the protocol they were supposed to. They did everything right. But one jackass gets up there and says they didn't do something right. And now those nurses are getting death threats. Yeah. But the story came out, and I listened to it on the radio, that was completely exonerating them. But it was like all it took was one person and a group think mentality to ruin these women's lives. They're literally suing.
And you know what? We sort of saw a glimpse of how the police officer was acting towards
Jimmy.
And, you know, police were very valued back then and trusted and...
Are you saying they're not now?
They were a big part of the community. What I'm saying is...
In a different way.
That's what she's saying. You know, I'm just saying, like, back then, the police were everything. They were the protectors along with, the men in the family. And they were a presence in the community. And they obviously still have a problem with the freaks.
Yes.
So...
Okay, so let's talk about this and Jimmy. Because I felt like... At first, I was distrustful. I'm distrustful of police, sorry, in general. But at first, I was distrustful of that cop that was saying, like, did you kill him? Like, it's okay to defend yourself. My first reaction was like, don't say it because I'm going to pin it on you.
Right.
But then it seemed, did you guys agree that it seemed like he was genuinely, like, caring about what happened?
No. Not at all.
I didn't read it that way.
I mean, there's something definitely iffy about that particular cop or detective or whatever he is.
Just the exchange was weird. And then when Jimmy was talking about Meep and how he's going to call the reporters and tell them, you know, what you did to them and everything. It just seems like very shady to me. And I know that the cops are not done.
It seemed... So what my reaction was... Okay, so Jimmy just saved the day, essentially, and now he's going to mess it up by being angry with this cop, who this cop is his lifeline to being a hero, to being exonerated, and he's mouthing off to him, which, like you said, you do not mouth off to an officer at that time in history, especially. Like, that's so insanely disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it was an opportunity for him to turn it his way, but he's so angry that he can't, and that it might come back to haunt him.
I think it honestly depends on, because so far Dandy's only killed Patti LaBelle, Dora. He's killed her. I think it depends on his actions, honestly, because, like, whatever he does, they're going to get blamed for, most likely.
They probably won't get blamed for Dora.
No, but she's going to go missing.
Right.
He's going to do something with her body, or the mom. I wouldn't doubt if his mother
hides it. And you do make a good point, because Dandy is... pissed at the freak show for not letting him in. So what if he stashes Dora's body somewhere over there and tries to, you know, incriminate the freaks? Who knows?
What were you going to say, David?
It's really not important.
Of course it's
Jimmy's exchange with the cop and his anger towards him. It sort of just reminded me of any exchange that I've ever had with a police officer, which there have not been many, but it feels like one of those things, like when you're so angry about something, you can't you want to not say something and you don't want to act like a jackass, but it just sort of comes out like word vomit.
Yeah.
This might be too deep, but I got kind of like a, because, you know, he's got daddy issues. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And like the whole authority, like authority figure, the cops. I don't know. I feel like that's like all hand in hand. Like he's angry in general.
Well, so we saw how angry he was at the townspeople in the diner, remember?
Yes.
And he was just livid and he's going to stand up to them. And so that's why I was kind of rolling my eyes at the scene at the end, because I'm like, these are, if they're not the exact same people, they're exactly like those people that were so awful to you that were, you were so angry at.
But that's what people are like, though.
I know, but I mean, the I would have expected the cop to be nice to at least the police officer who has power over you and can destroy your life,
right?
Versus, you know, compared to the townspeople that bring brownies and now we're all happy. I just felt like, where's the anger?
He's been the man for so long that I just feel like in any situation where he needs to stick up for himself or someone else, he's going to take the aggression, because that's what he's always done.
Right.
Because he sort of always had to be in charge.
Yeah.
And we don't get to hear his backstory because Edward does not go to him.
No, not yet at least. We'll get it eventually. Yeah. But who is also going to move on and do what they've always done is the entire freak show, which for now at least, they're going to be well off for like a hot minute.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited for.
Show.
But that's pretty much our entire episode. What
There's
else happened?
More.
Well, happened.
Well, so I think it's setting it up for the next episode about Bette and Dot.
Yes.
Right?
We didn't see Bette and Dot tonight. We didn't see...
Well, yes, we did.
We saw them for like a second.
We see the jealousy.
They didn't get... They're no longer the headliners.
No longer the headliners. We didn't see... our bearded lady.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
You're right. We got a lot of bearded lady last
week. We had a moment with Del.
Yeah, only a moment.
But I feel like that moment with Del when Jimmy was getting all that attention, that was very, like, poignant. Like, he was, like, he's, like, not, like, the man of the house. Like, he, I don't know. There was, like, a power struggle there, and he could, like, sense it. And
I feel like all of the minor things that happened are setting us up for predictions.
Yes. Totally.
So I think we definitely have news and gossip to talk about first.
Okay.
So why don't we go there?
AfterBuzz TV News.
Who's got news and gossip?
Who wants to take it?
I mean, I have two things, but I'm sure they're the same two things that you do.
You do one of them.
All right. Neil Patrick Harris is going to be on American Horror Story, and David Burka. But I love them both, but I'm really excited about Neil Patrick Harris.
And they did reveal that, as far as their storylines, Neil Patrick Harris is going to be playing a chameleon salesman.
In two episodes.
Mm-hmm. And then David Burka is coming
he
into play.
He sells chameleons, or he...
David's more interesting, actually.
He is a chameleon.
Okay.
And as we know, if we're going for the old-school chameleon, it's that they have the ability to transform themselves with facial hair, you know, makeup, clothing to be completely different people. And this was very common in that time period. There were people that were chameleons. Then his husband is going to have a sexy storyline in the finale with Jessica Lange.
Which is amazing. Right,
also, Lily Rabe is coming back.
Well, yes. But I'm not... I'm not okay with that. I want her to come back. I feel weird. I shouldn't say I don't like it, but I don't like that she's reprising her character from Asylum. To me, why? Why can't she be someone new?
These stories
together.
Why? Yeah. We've never done that before.
But this is the thing. A lot of people have this alternate universe theory. Mm-hmm. If you go on Tumblr, there's a bunch of American Horror Story fans. Guys, I'm sure you know them out there. I'm sure you've read it. Where they believe, like any theory, you know, like there's a Disney theory, there's a Pixar theory, there's an American Horror Story theory, that all four seasons so far are intertwined, and there are clues in each season that lead back or forward to other episodes. I'm kind of excited for Lily Rabe, only because I love Pepper, and, you know, we know Sister Mary Eunice, she was a sweetheart before the devil took over her soul, or at least we know she was, you know, on the nicer side. So I'm excited to see why Pepper landed herself into the asylum and how that happened. And we do know she's going to be on episode 10, which is the Winter Cliffhanger.
Right.
Okay.
Super excited.
I do want to say I am okay with her being on. I was dying for her to be back.
Just not as the same character.
Well, here's a bridge. Get over it. Because it's happening. So that's your news and gossip. Yeah. Should we jump into prediction?
Predictions?
Yes, predictions.
And now, you're after us.
Me neither.
I have one prediction.
You have a prediction?
I do.
Oh my god, you never have them.
I had one the first week.
I thought we were not going to do predictions, you and I.
What?
No, carry on.
What was this agreement?
I know.
I don't remember this discussion. I have one prediction.
Okay.
We will have a song next week.
Oh my god.
We didn't get one this week. Because
what song? Do you have a prediction?
Oh, as of what song it could be?
Or what type of music?
Well, it's going to be pop music because they've all been pop songs.
Freddie Mercury.
Ooh. That would be incredible.
How about a guy sing?
Some Queen. That would be incredible.
That would be incredible.
I can see it.
That's my prediction.
It's going to be female vocalists.
Okay, that's your prediction.
That's my prediction. Next week we have a song. Because this week my theory is that because it was a two-parter, we got the song last week because it's technically one episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And one song per episode.
One song per episode.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Well, I have some predictions.
Yeah, okay, you wrote yours down. Go for it, girlfriend.
I think that final scene where, or one of the final scenes where Bette and Dot are gazing, or is it Dot that's gazing lovingly over at Jimmy? They both are. And in comes to frame Esmeralda.
Right.
And I just think that's foreshadowing that Bette and Dot's murderous side is going to come out in a jealous rage against Esmeralda, who won't see it coming because she's not a real fortune teller.
she's not?
And I also think that Esmeralda, as we are seeing, is going to have a change of heart, which is going to complicate the relationship with Richard Spencer, the talent scout, which we didn't mention, who's arrived and is, you know, obviously using a ploy that they know we'll get Elsa because she's so
I love that when he said, I'm from Hollywood. And
vain.
She's like,
Star hungry.
Yeah, she's so, so hungry. She is so desperate. So I think that that's going to complicate their relationship as well.
Okay.
And then if we saw the previews, so it's going to get hairy.
The previews are always
I
misleading.
Think that now since Esmeralda's partner is in play, you know, he's going to make a move on Bette and Dot, as we see. It looks like
he injects
a drug into a cupcake. But I think, as we saw, I want to say in 2 weeks ago, the preview for 2 weeks ago, we see Mon Petit sort of almost drowning in a jar. So I think that he's going to try to get the twins, but he's going to end up with...
I can't believe you remember that.
How did you remember that?
I don't know if we saw that preview.
I don't think I saw that either.
I want to say it was like maybe the full season preview. Like it was like this season on American Horror Story.
Look at you cheating.
And not
no, you
cheating.
Get a
it was the first
star.
Episode,
I haven't even
darling.
Shot the whole thing.
But I do think that he's going to try for the high-priced item, and he's going to walk away with pretty much whatever he can get. As we know, Elsa has a very strong relationship with Mon Petit. So we will see. Yeah, she might lose it. But yeah, that's my prediction. He's going to go for the supersize and he's going to get the small.
All right. Sarah?
Apparently
you're not giving predictions.
I mean, I thought that was like our thing, but I guess
Sarah,
we don't
stop
have a thing
clowning
anymore.
Around.
I don't remember that.
I don't have my gloves on anymore.
You took them off. I gave predictions the first week, and you were not here.
Okay. What do I predict? I predict. I don't want to. I really don't.
Okay.
I really don't.
You don't have to. It's your prerogative.
Well, we'll continue the conversation on Twitter.
We will continue the conversation on Twitter. So where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo or Instagram at Oriana Leo. And please check out my YouTube channel. I've got a new episode of Running Errands in Hollywood with pop group Sid Youth. There's some sexy ladies. And that's at youtube.com/TheOrianaLeo. It's only 8 minutes this time, so it won't take you all day.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jillian Leff. You can find me on Facebook at Jillian Leff Official. You can catch me on Thursday nights hosting How to Get Away with Murder at 8:05 on AfterBuzz.
Good show.
And yeah, Sarah.
Almost dropped my notebook. I am on Twitter at Sarah on the Go, Sarah with an H, and on Instagram at SarahBear627.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at You Can Call Me Skiff. I want to send a quick shout out to all our fans.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yay.
So thank you guys for being there for us and tweeting us. We love it. We love hearing from you.
We do.
We love hearing you, seeing your comments on iTunes. So rate, subscribe. From everyone here at the AfterBuzz TV studio, we just want to say a quick thank you and have a happy Halloween.
Ooh. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.